Now let's move on to what you do in the blog every single week, which is, of course, the NBA and the broader perspective of the league, which is something that when I was doing the blog on my own, I admit sorely lacked because I was always kind of getting dragged back into the Raptors stuff to do. And you've done a great job.
So what you're saying is you complete me? Is that what you're saying, James?
No, I'm not. I wasn't saying that, but I was going to pay you a compliment. I was going to say that you've done a great job with it, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
So that isn't you complete me. This is not like Jerry Maguire, although I do like that movie.
I'm just teasing you, James. You know I like the joke.
So if Jerry Maguire is the agent, we'll start this way. If Jerry Maguire was the agent for LeBron James or Dwayne Wade, what is he telling his client to do? Should they both stay where they are, or should they look elsewhere and join CB4 in the quest to find everywhere?
Oh, no. I think that LeBron James is staying where they... So he's going to be staying where he is, even though, you know, he has an option of flying the coop. No, I don't think... I think he's staying where he is. And I think, you know, the Boston-Cleveland series is providing a little... meat to chew on, because when you look at the other teams, I mean, okay, Phoenix had just swept their series against San Antonio. Lakers, well, they're on their way. I don't know that Utah is going to win game four tonight, but, you know, who knows? Then there's Orlando, and, well, you know, they're about to, I don't know, possibly, you know, the Hawks could pull out a game or two, but I think that could possibly be a sweep, because really, how do you...
I've done that series. The Hawks are not winning a game. Trust me.
No.
When you lose by 40 and 30, you don't deserve to win a game. And I don't say that word very often, the word deserve.
No, that first series against their matchup, what, Orlando got like 114 to Atlanta 71. Yeah, I think you need to take a rest.
Yeah, it was a interesting live blog, to say the least. And, you know, so was game three.
What a matchup between Cleveland and Boston, and going back and forth and the series being tied 2-2. You've got Kevin Garnett. I always screw up his name. I'll just say Rajon Rondo. Did I say that right?
You said Rajon Rondo. That was very good. I love Rajon Rondo.
Okay. You've got a lot of talent there, and you think that, you know, everyone's saying, oh, this is LeBron's year, to take one, but you know what? Boston is showing they have a history of being in the playoffs and pulling one out, so you just never know in this series. And I think this one's going to be a little bit more exciting, because you kind of expect the Lakers to walk all over Utah, and I'm not just saying that because I've been a fan since I came out of the womb. Phoenix, you know, kind of expect that there's some of that push behind them because of Nash and, you know, his abilities to survive games with getting a bloody nose and the stitches above his eye. Man, that guy should play hockey, eh?
He looked like a hockey player last night. He was bleeding, and it was ugly. He looked like he got in a hockey fight and then lost.
You know what? And that's the thing about him. Did you notice both the times that he got injured, he left the game, came back, and still was at 100%. It didn't slow him down. And I think that, you know, sometimes, and this is the argument where we were talking before about the wayward fan and hockey in this country, and I'll say that, and you know my hockey background, James, so, you know, this is just me talking from the heart, but I think that sometimes basketball doesn't get that oomph behind it, if for lack of a better word, that hockey does. If you're describing a hockey fan that likes fights, that likes that aggressiveness style of play, and they think that basketball players just run up and down the court, I don't think that that's what they do if this is the type of injury that they're going to get. There's a lot of players that, you know, that play tough in the NBA and that, you know, but look at, you know, in hockey, let's say, you know, when I suit up, you've got chest protector, you've got your knee, you've got all this stuff protecting you. As a basketball player, if you're going up and down and going for rebounds underneath that, oh my goodness, the elbows coming down. Can you imagine going for a rebound against Shaquille O'Neal, like, without any protection?
it's
oh my God, I don't want to wear a helmet.
Yeah, he's a big dude, Palace. But basketball, it is a tough sport.
The point of the matter is that, you know, this is the argument that they make about hockey, that, you know, fighting sells the sport, because really what does it do for you in a game? It just shows the other team, yeah, I'm tough, whatever, okay, the referees aren't always going to protect you in a game, and you have to kind of exert your force to show the other player that you can't put up with that crap. But in the NBA, do you honestly think that they're not doing that? It's a different style of aggression. You watch their faces. That's the best part about watching a game, especially when you're watching it live and you're courtside, if you are that lucky to get courtside seats. You can see the expression on their faces and see the emotion. They play with the same amount of emotion. They might not be going at a million miles per hour as they do in hockey on the ice, but I would make the same argument that basketball is just as tough, but they play with a little less equipment. So maybe you could make the argument that they're tougher than hockey players.
I don't know if that argument would fly in this country, but
trying to light a finer under your butt, James. Yell at me. Tell me that I'm wrong.
I don't yell. I'm a very nice interviewer. I try and make the guests feel comfortable and all of this. You're very fiery. That's okay though. But I will say, from an entertainment value, if you weren't a basketball fan, you should have watched the end of Utah and the LA Lakers game. That last game they just played in that series, that was phenomenal entertainment, and more exciting than anything hockey could throw at you. Although, I mean, they have the long, drawn-out overtimes in the NHL playoffs, but the end of Lakers and Jazz, I'll put that against any NHL overtime you want to throw at me.
Mm-hmm. Especially when, you know, you're a fan of the Lakers and you expect them to win a little bit more than just 1 point. That was, for sure, that was exciting.
Although, but I don't get this. You know, you're not the only one. I know, like, a ton of people, and I won't throw all of them under the bus. But for whatever reason, the Toronto Raptors and the people that cover them, there seems to be a lot of closet Laker fans, and I brought one into the blog as well. It's like, what is with that? How do you go?
Who's a closet Laker fan? Is Ennis a closet Laker fan?
No, not Ennis, but I'm talking about some other people. I mean, you know,
okay.
It's just, there's a lot of you out there, and I wonder where that comes from. Like how did?
Well, for me, it comes from following Magic Johnson, you know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, you've got Jerry West. They have, you know, and Jerry West, you know, that's a piece of trivia question for you, James. You know the little NBA symbol of the guy dribbling, like, you
yeah,
know,
that's Jerry West.
That's Jerry West, right?
Yeah.
Not that you didn't know that. I'm just saying. I just think that, you know, the Lakers are a solid club, and they've got history. They've got, you know me. I love stats. I love looking at the history of a club and seeing where teams have been and where they're going, and I love to read up on all that stuff. So I think that, you know, I looked around the league, you know, not to say that I was shopping, but they kind of attracted me with their story, and I kind of stuck with them and followed them. Hockey, you know, it's funny. I play hockey more than I play basketball, and I don't have a favorite team. I like to follow players and see where they're going. I'm not really loyal to any team, but in basketball, I think the Lakers kind of sustained my loyalty and interest.
And speaking of the Lakers and their road, how do you think they match up against the Suns? Because I'm going to say, no team's ever come back from 3-0 in the NBA. So let's assume Utah is dead. Sorry, people in Salt Lake City. If there happens to be any of you out there listening to this podcast, your team is done. Moving on to the conference finals, how do you think your Lakers match up against the Suns?
This is where I get a little... Now, see, if we're talking LA and Cleveland, I mean, I love LeBron, but, you know, Lakers are my team. Phoenix now, I've been kind of rooting for them a little, not just because, you know, of Steve Nash and...
You're very anti-Canadian for not rooting for the Suns.
I'm looking for... See, for me, I look at things... I love looking at the stats and seeing where things are coming in, analyzing them, but seeing the momentum that Phoenix is on, you know what? I'd kind of be happy either way if Phoenix won that series or if the Lakers won. Of course I want the Lakers to win, But then who do we look for in the next series? Is Boston going to win or Cleveland going to win out of that series? That's going to be the series to watch, James. I want to see if you know Boston can upset Cleveland off their little pedestal that everyone's put them on.
And then
because of LeBron.
And then when you get whoever comes out of that, which I still think it's going to be Cleveland. I know Boston's done well, and I love Rajon Rondo, and what he's done has been absolutely amazing. But when Rajon Rondo is your best player, and those big three guys are not, there's something wrong with that. And it's
yeah,
not,
but think about it. Anybody at this point in the game, when you've got four series. Well, Phoenix series has already been decided. The playoffs are not a sprint to the finish. And I think that's what some people make the mistake when they're picking their picks and they're trying to make their predictions for the playoffs, is that anything can happen. You can be, like I described this in one of my Jiggly Bits previously, but you need to compare it to a marathon. And sometimes, if you've ever run a marathon, James, because I know you've run a marathon.
No, I've never run a marathon and never probably will.
There are going to be some times when you're in the zone and you're running and everything's clicking and then something snaps. Or you get out of a rhythm or, you know, just something happens and you're just not there and it doesn't work for you. And then somebody just kind of whizzed right past you because they're having a good series or they're having a good run or whatever. And I think something like this is kind of, you know, what I was saying going into the playoffs. As much as I love LeBron James, as much as, you know, I appreciate where he's come from and the history behind him and how he's made himself into a great basketball player, guffaw at the fact that everyone thinks they'd like to see LeBron win one. But what about the rest of the team? If you're placing all your hopes and dreams on one player, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I think that, you know, maybe Boston, I don't know. I can't say that I'd throw my complete support behind Boston either. That could be some of my bias talking because I am a Laker fan, and I just, you know, say that right out there. But
yeah, I mean, you can't cheer for Boston. That would be wrong. You'd be kicked out of the Laker fan club.
I'm not cheering, yeah. No way. Kobe would be all over that.
But I'm gonna cut you off because where I was going with this is everyone seems to be all hyped up about Orlando. Can either of these teams beat Orlando of the Survivor? I think they can. I think Cleveland can. I don't think Boston can.
You don't think that Boston can beat Orlando?
No.
No?
No, I do not think that Boston can beat Orlando because I don't think Boston has anything to offer to deal with that big guy that flies through the air and jumps over tall buildings with a single bound. I don't see them stopping Dwight Howard at all.
Yeah.
Rajon Rondo can be as good as he wants. When he runs into Dwight Howard trying to block his shot or his pass, I don't know what he does with that.
Yeah, but you know what? Like we said before, anything can happen. You never know. Like, let's pretend that Boston pulls one out. Because the series is going back-to-back. It's not as if they're, you know, they've been up two, and then the flip side comes back up two. You just never know. Look at the other series. The Boston-Cleveland series is the only one that's providing any kind of excitement to see where it's going. I don't know.
But that's what
I'm saying, that Cleveland's totally in. I don't think that Cleveland's totally in it. Boston could possibly win that series.
But who?
And they might not survive the next round, but that would be pretty sad.
But that's what I'm saying. If you want, like, the better matchup, I think, is Cleveland versus Orlando rather than Boston versus Orlando.
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't get excited about that series either.
No, it's just there's nothing there because I think Orlando would smoke Boston. Before we close this out, I wanted to touch on something that I touched on with Ennis, and you might be a little bit better off to talk about this one because you actually did some work in news. And what I'm talking about is the Suns and the wearing the whole Lost Suns jerseys and all of that in relation to the immigration laws in Arizona and stuff like that. Now, obviously, they're on the right side of this issue, I think most of us would agree with. But is that a dangerous precedent for a sports franchise to be getting involved politically like they have done it? Like, what if they were, say, vote Bush on their jerseys or something?
Oh, I'm totally, I don't like it at all, and I'll tell you why. This is one of the reasons why I couldn't stand to watch boxing for the longest time, because some of the fighters would put advertisements on their backs to advertise whatever. Why would you want to attach yourself to that crap? I don't understand. I don't understand why they'd want it, because then that sets a dangerous precedent. Like you said, I don't know.
Yeah, but obviously this is a little different than advertising, though. I mean, this is making a political stance, which is the kind of thing that I'm not sure if you want to go there, because, you know, what happens, like, who knows? Like, you've got an owner like Mark Cuban who was had his troubles with his stock trading and stuff like that. Is he going to have, like, the Dallas Mavericks come out and wear something against the FCC or something? I mean, it just sets
If you want to get your team and you want to get your players involved in an issue, you get them, like, say, you know, like, take, for instance, Chris Bosh. He's involved in the Boys and Girls Clubs, and he's done advertisements saying that, you know, that's kind of how he kind of got started into basketball and how he kind of got that support, and he's the face of it, and he wants to do that. That's fine. But really, do we need to change all the Toronto Raptors jerseys to put the Toronto Boys and Girls Clubs on it? I'm not saying that this is the same issue as the Phoenix Suns, but I'm not a fan of it. I'm sorry, James, but I don't know that I could support that. If I was the owner of a club and think, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, they are on the right side of the issue, and that's the point. And Ennis kind of took the opposite approach and said, you know, it's great to see athletes getting involved and being more politically active. And, I mean, there is a point to that. I mean, when Obama was elected, you had LeBron James going out and campaigning for him. You had a number of NBA players going out and campaigning for him. And to see them get politically active, I think that is good in its place. And maybe if kids pick up on that, they'll pay more attention to politics and make this world a better place. And we can sing Kumbaya and whatever. But I don't know if you bring that onto the basketball floor.
Oh, too bad this wasn't video, man. I'd love to see you sing that.
Sing Kumbaya, that isn't going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm saying is I think the gesture and the thought of it is right, but I don't know if it needs to be brought onto the basketball floor in such a outward manner the way it was.
No. I agree with you on that. I don't think, because if you look at the jerseys and any of the other apparel, you're attaching a cause to that name, and you have to be pretty, you know, confident in that's the group that you want to attach yourself to. I mean, by all means, it's great that, you know, that they want to bring light to the issue, but I'm not sure that changing the jersey is the right thing to do. If they want to volunteer outside of that and do a campaign and help them, and they want to attach themselves to an issue that way, okay, you know, I could be convinced of that, but not changing the jersey. No, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a one-off thing that they did, but I found it interesting, and I found it, like, somewhat different, and you do have background in news, so I wanted to have your take on it, because obviously I live in my kind of little sports world, and it's a little different, and I just wanted, like, your perspective from working both sides of the fence, so to speak.
Well, yeah, and that's where it comes from. Like, in news, you're looking, you know, the first thing, you know, the first kind of sexy rule of news is that if it bleeds, it leads. So whatever kind of gets the attention thing, I don't know who was sitting around thinking that that might be a good idea, but in news, you kind of have to kind of stay, not attach yourself. Like, you can look at any of the news organizations like CTV, Global, CH. You'll see that those news organizations, even though they have to remain impartial, they're also involved in different charitable groups like the Breast Cancer Foundation of Canada, or, you know, different things like that. And they're attaching themselves to issues, and they're making a conscious choice to do that, but you don't see them changing their logo to attach it to that.
That's true. But that whole theory, though, obviously doesn't work in sports, because Steve Nash did bleed. I will guarantee he didn't lead SportsCenter today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
not everything works, James.
I don't know. Anyway, this was fun. As I said, Dennis, we'll try and do these infrequently or frequently throughout the summer with both of you guys. I don't know if we'll do it like we're doing today, where we get you both on the same day and package it all together, but at least we've started this, and now we can have both you and him come back and visit on a regular basis and share your thoughts and opinions with us, which is always nice to do. And tomorrow,
well, I hope that it meant something to you, James. I hope that you do invite me back, because I did have a lot of fun.
It's what it means to the readers. If it's what it means to me, you know, I mean...
Well, then I hope that everybody out there in Dino Nation appreciated the comments, even though you might not have agreed with them, that you can look at things intelligently and maybe take a step back and say, I hear what you're saying, but I think you're full of crap, Danielle.
I don't know. Like, you know, anyway, you'll be doing your NBA thing tomorrow, and I'm sure people will be reading that. And I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you what you're going to write about, but if you know something, you can say it now or forever hold your peace.
I think I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay.
And keep you guessing, so you read tomorrow. How about that?
That works. That's what we call in the business a tease. So read.
Ooh,
jiggly.
I'm not a tease. Oh, are you serious? You really could have leave it on that, saying that I'm a tease.
No,
Oh,
come on now.
Did you just call me a tease?
Come on now, Danielle.
I'm teasing.
Danielle, you work in the media. You know what the term tease means.
I know, but not everybody else does.
A tease means it leads into something that makes you want to come back. And hopefully these interviews have done that.
Oh, I make you come back for more. Oh, yeah, you're going to read tomorrow and the next day, and you're going to say, you're going to get like a billion emails saying, where's that chick? I want her on some more podcasts, man. Let's talk about that.
Hopefully. Hopefully we'll do half as well as Chris Bosch's Twitter account. That's all we can hope for, really.
Well, there you go. You have hopes and dreams, James. That's good.
And apparently you're going to get on Twitter because you made a big deal about that. So I look forward to that in the future as well.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Just so you know, it's coming. I just want to make sure that I completely know what I'm doing before I get out there, so I don't like send out any missed tweets that James should be a bobblehead or anything like that.
No,
you know?
No, that's fine. I mean, the radio show I do on Wednesdays, they are like 6 months of saying they're going to be on Twitter and haven't got there. I have more confidence that you will get on Twitter before them. So, that being said.
Thanks, man. Love it when your boss has confidence in you. Love it.
There you go. But anyway, that is about all for this. We've talked NBA. We've talked Raptors. And I'm tired of talking. I mean, with talking to both of you, it's been a long, long ride for me. So, I am done. I am out of words.
Okay, James.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it for me. I will chat with you later. Anytime you want me to come back and do one of these podcasts, by all means, do it.
Okie doke. We will have you back, and we'll have Ennis back too. And, you know, this was fun, and, you know, hopefully we'll make them a little shorter, because I think both times with both you and Ennis, I kind of got carried away and just let you guys run with it. But this was the first one, so... Even some of the stuff I did the first time, it gets better as it goes. But this was a good start.